hear the good singing, all the songs tonight. God bless you. Pray tonight. The best is yet to come. Like Mama used to tell me, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Amen. Good to have Brother Terry Pace with us tonight. He's done an outstanding job thus far this week by the aid and help of the Holy Spirit of God. No telling what he's going to do tonight, how he's going to preach. But I'm going to be like that old sponge again. I'm just going to soak it up. Amen. Brother Pace, come ahead. You pray for him tonight. If you need to pray, come on and pray.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mickey. It's a blessing to be back tonight in the service. Thank you for your prayers already. And do ask you to pray for us tonight. I want to do as I did last night. I'm not going to read any scripture, but I want to look at Acts chapter 27. If you've got your Bible with you and want to open it to that chapter, I'll refer to several verses in that chapter, like I did last night when I preached out of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. So we'll look at several verses in Acts chapter 27 tonight and try to preach as the Lord would direct us tonight. Acts chapter 27. I'd like tonight, out of this Acts chapter 27, that is giving to us the story or the journey of the Apostle Paul as he's headed to Rome. And in this Acts chapter 27, when he gets in this storm here in as he makes that journey towards Rome. Now, I'd like, if I can, to make a spiritual application tonight here to this man, Paul. And talk about, of course, Paul was in the storm, but he being a type of the church in the storm. The church in the storm. Now, of course, you're familiar, and I think Paul could represent the church, for he is, according to his own testimony, the apostle of the Gentiles. He did have the gospel to the uncircumcision, or had the gospel of uncircumcision as Peter had the gospel of circumcision. That is, he was the apostle to the Jews. Paul also said that he was our pattern. And also, my friend, he said, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. And I think before us tonight lays in his life, in this storm that he got in, a symbolic truth, a spiritual truth, when the church is in the storm. Now, may I say this tonight and try to preach as the Lord would direct us tonight. I'd like to look, first of all, here in Acts chapter 27, at the why of the storm. Why was there a storm in the life of the Apostle Paul? Why was there a storm here in Acts chapter number 27? May I say to you, before I deal with the why of this storm, throughout the Scriptures, as far as I know, my friend, there are basically, my friend, about three or four storms that are mentioned in the Word of God. I guess we could first say that storm in Noah's day, that my friend, that flood that came upon the earth was literally the first storm ever experienced by the world. May I say to you, that storm that came, that those flood waters, my friend, that arose, and that rain that fell for 40 days and 40 nights, that was the judgment of God upon a sinful world. Anybody hearing me tonight? And the Lord judged that generation. We refer to it as the anti-deluvian age, or the age that was before the deluge or the flood, my friend. And so it was that God judged, the Bible refers to it as the old world. Amen. That earth that then was. And the storm came. Never had rained before. But God brought judgment, my friend, because man's imagination, man's heart,
my friend had become so wicked and so vile that he judged them, my friend, for their sin. Now, may I say this? As that storm came upon the earth, my friend, there has been storms ever since. There's never been a worldwide storm, nor will they ever be, according to the Scripture, my friend, a flood like there was in Noah's day, worldwide, that would destroy, my friend, all of mankind, as it did in Noah's day, my friend, but there have been storms ever since. My friend, and there's always a storm somewhere in the world tonight. Somewhere, even now, there is a violent storm. There is thunder and lightning. My friend, there is a contrary wind. There is something happening somewhere across this earth and this world tonight. Can I say to you that storms will come? All of us, sometime or another, we'll face a storm. It may be serene tonight, but you can mark her down. It's a part of living on the earth. It's a part of traveling through this journey of life. There will be storms. Anybody hear me? Can I say that storm came upon Noah's generation as a judgment? There's Jonah. The storm came upon the ship that Jonah was in, the waters that Jonah had, my friend, tried to sail upon, getting away from the command of God. But God sent that storm. Well, hear me. Hey, God prepared that storm, prepared that fish, and they throw Jonah overboard. Amen. Can I say tonight there are some storms that'll come in your life because of your disobedience. Amen. Many of us have faced storms. Ain't God, contrary winds. I've been on ships. Ain't God, sailed on life's sea. And it would not have been that way had we done what God said. Had we hearkened to the voice of God. Had we not been stubborn and rebellious and refused to go God's way. Amen. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Then there's the storms in the New Testament. The four Gospels relate to us. Have those storms, the time Jesus is asleep on the ship, the time He's walking on, comes walking on the water. And those particular storms, God deliberately sent His disciples in those storms. And He did not send them into the storm so they would drown, so they would sink, so they would fail. But He's teaching them lessons of faith. Hey, God, He said to Peter, my friend, when he first walked on the water and then began to sink, He said, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. God wanted to perfect their faith in the storm. Somehow our faith cannot be perfected in the sunshine, but it takes the storm clouds. It takes the rainy nights. It takes the boisterous and contrary winds and the fierce waves for us to, my friend, exercise our faith and our faith to be increased. Amen. What the Lord said, let us go to the other side. And it didn't matter how rough the sea got, how much the waves crashed into the ship, how contrary the winds were to them. He said, we're going to the other side. And that's what He meant. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you and I tonight, regardless of what storm we face, we're headed to the other side. If we're on board with Jesus tonight, if we've got on the old gospel ship and the ship of Zion tonight, I'm telling you, thank God, one glorious day she's going to pull in on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, and we're going to wind up safe on the other side. Hallelujah. Thank God. And these storms that we face are just to test and to try our faith and perfect our faith. So that we learn in spite of our circumstances how to trust not what's going on around us, but what the Lord has said. Amen. Here we are at this storm tonight. The why of the storm. The why of the storm. Paul is in this storm. Paul, God has to ride out this storm. And if it had not been for the providential hand of God, would have died like all the rest of them that were with him on the ship in this storm. And the reason Paul's in this storm, thank God, not his own disobedience, and not the judgment of God, amen, but the fact that somebody else, thank God, that is in charge and in control, would not obey what God said. You can live like you're supposed to live, be doing what you're supposed to be doing, and because somebody else does not obey God, somebody else refuses to heed what God said, they can put you in the storm. Are y'all hearing me tonight? You and I both know tonight that it is so. There are individuals tonight because of their spouse. Their spouse has refused to go God's way and do what God said. And because of their sinfulness and wickedness and rebellion against God, it puts the other person in a storm. Some children are in storm because of their parents. Some parents are in a storm because of the disobedience of their children. Some churches are in storms because of the disobedience of the pastor. Some pastors are in storms because of the disobedience of the church. Amen. Some churches are in storms because of the disobedience of some of the other members. Anybody hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, hey, God, there's time that we get in the storm, and Paul's why the storm was nothing of his own doing, but somebody else that had the final authority. I said, I'll believe, I'll do, my friend, what I think's right, what somebody else advises, rather than what God has said. Amen. And it caused them to wind up in the storm. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Now, the Bible tells us that Paul has started out in one ship in this Acts chapter 27, and he switches ships. It's a ship of Alexandria headed to Italy or headed to Rome that he gets on, and already winter time, and sailing is slow. That is, the wind's not cooperative, and they come to the island of Crete. And according to verse number 8, they come to a place called the Fair Havens. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said it is near the city, verse number 8, of Lycia. And then Paul came out while they were there in that harbor of the Fair Havens and in the city of Lycia. And Paul said to them, brethren, we better stay the rest of the winter here. We better not take up anchor and try to sail anywhere else or find another harbor or another place. He said, for if we do, hey God, I have been told by the Lord that we're not only in danger of losing what's in the ship, my friend, what we're carrying, hey God, but we're liable to lose our lives. You better just stay where you're at. I put her in park and wait out the winter. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Amen. But the Bible said the fair havens, the harbor they was in, was not commodious to winter in. Hallelujah. It wasn't as comfortable as some other place. And so that what they wanted to do was to get to a place called Phoenice. Now here's the island of Crete. Amen. And look at, here's the island of Crete, and Paul and all them are right here at a place called Fair Havens. Amen. On the southwest side of the island of Crete. And what they've decided is there's a good place called Phoenice. Just sail around the bottom of that island. Get up here on the northeast side, and there's a place called Phoenice. And it's a lot more pleasant to winter in. The grass is greener. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? Oh, God, help us tonight. And so they, hey, God, my friend, won't attain unto Phoenice. And the Bible said Julius, who is the Roman centurion that's in charge of Paul and the other Roman prisoners that are with him and in charge of those Roman soldiers that are keeping the prisoners. Hey, God, who has hired this ship to take them to Rome. Hey, God, he believes the owner and the master of the ship more than those things that are spoken of by Paul. I mean, that Julius, that Roman centurion says, well, I got two options here. I can believe what this humpback, dim-eyed, ain't God Jew, amen, ain't God that's preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Son of God and that He's resurrected, ain't God, and He's such a zealot. I believe what He says, or I can take what this fella said that owns this ship, that's running this ship, and he said, when I weigh it out, hey, God, looks like to me that what this man says, hey, God, he must know a lot more than what Paul would say. Hallelujah. That's what the world says. That's what church folks say in our day. Hey, God, I don't have to believe what that cornfield preacher says. I don't have to believe what that country preacher says. I don't have to believe what that King James Bible says. I don't have to believe what that Hackenspitting preacher says. Hey, God, we've learned better in this generation. We know more than they did in the past. But I'm telling you, if you ever get a message from God through His man, and it's Holy Ghost anointed, and you know it, you better stick with it. You better, He says, and what God says through Him, that's to consider all the wisdom of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, even God, when it comes to salvation of sinners, has made it possible not according to the wisdom of the world.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the gospel and salvation is not attained through the wisdom of men.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. How to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. It looks to the world like a man preaching is foolishness unto them. Amen. Oh, we need scientific reasoning. We need psychological. Hey, hear me. Hey, God, the words. That's what we need. No, what we need, it's a man of that's been saved by grace, called by God, full of the Holy Ghost, how to take this black back book and rear back and preach the uncircumcised of Christ, how to declare the whole counsel of God, how to tell folks except they repent, you shall all likewise perish, how to tell this generation how that Christ is the way, how the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by Him. I'm telling you tonight, hey God, how we ought to preach the gospel, and it will work in this generation. Well, Hallelujah. Woo! Paul said to the church at Corinth, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you, amen, the word of God, but I came in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, that your faith could stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I remind you, the only thing that will break a sinner loose from their bonds of sin, my God, is the preaching of the gospel. Are anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. My God. Oh, it's more than quoting the word. It's more than putting it up on a bulletin board and letting folks read it. It's more than sticking it in front of their face and saying, believe these verses. My God, gospel preaching is God taking His man who is preaching His word and anointing him with the power, my God, of the Holy Ghost, the power that comes down from heaven and it gets inside of an individual's heart. God shines the light on their path. Let them see what they are by nature. Reveals to them what they must be. By the grace of God, brings them to the light of their sin, the knowledge that they are wicked and vile. Before a threshold of God produces faith inside of them. Hallelujah. It's the incorruptible seed sown in their heart. And when they exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent towards God, God for Christ's sake saves their soul, and the written word becomes the written word, which is Christ in us, and the hope of glory. Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's time for me to be through, and I'm just at point number one. Hallelujah. The way of the storm. I don't know if you're in a storm. You just come out of one, or you're fixing to go into one. And I'm telling you, this is the way of the storm. Sometimes it's our own disobedience. Sometimes it's the disobedience of others. Sometimes it's just God's will to perfect what's lacking in us. Amen. Notice not only the way of the storm, or the why of the storm, I'm sorry. The why of the storm. Amen. Because Julius, this Roman centurion, believed. Amen. The master and the owner of this ship from Alexander, more than what he believed was spoken by Paul. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks tonight have shipwrecked. There's a lot of folks tonight at the bottom of the ocean tonight spiritually. And because they wouldn't listen out of what God's man said. When he said, beware. Don't take where you're at. Don't ship out. Stay where you're at. Hallelujah. There's the why of the storm. Can I preach to you just a moment tonight on the wind of the storm? The wind of the storm. Verses 13 and 14. The Bible said, and when the south wind blew softly. Hallelujah. Supposing they had obtained their purpose. What was their purpose? To sail to Phoenicia. Not way out in the middle of the ocean. They're just going to go around the edge of Crete. Just stay real close. And get right all around there on that other side. Surely ain't no harm in that. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His name. And when that south wind blew awfully, the Bible said they supposed they had obtained their purpose. And so they put up the sails, pulled up the anchors, and said, go with that soft south wind. Is there a soft south wind blowing across your path tonight? Amen. Oh, what temptation lies before you tonight? What indulgence have you been contemplating and thinking you can get by with? Oh, you're not aiming to sail the wide seas. You're just going to go a little bit where you're at.
But I remind you tonight, that soft south wind that's blowing and making you feel like and think that you've attained your purpose is deceiving you tonight. For no sooner had they set sail and come out from under that harbor of the fair havens, amen, till that soft south wind became a euroclydon wind. We'd call it a nor'easter in our day. Amen. And I'm telling you, hey, in just a few short hours, they were nowhere near the island of Crete. They were nowhere near their destination, their purpose. As a matter of fact, they didn't know where they was at. Hallelujah. And how they're going to get back. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Sin always take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, amen, and keep you longer than what you want to stay. Are y'all hearing me? Sin always winds you and dines you. How about then it blinds you and binds you? Anybody hearing me tonight? It may be blowing soft across. Hey, God, your sin tonight, and you think you've got it made, and you can see it and go against what God has already told you, but you're headed for a life-endangering storm. You better hark up and stay in the harbor and stay in the shore tonight. Amen. Verse 14 called it a tempestuous wind. Amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that for 14 days and nights, hallelujah, they never saw the sun, the moon, or the stars. And every instrument they had to tell them how close they were to being on course to Phoenice did not work. I'll tell you what you do tonight. You think you've obtained your purpose, but when you get out in that euroclydon storm that'll turn from a soft south wind to a tempestuous wind, you'll get to a place you don't know which way's up. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Drifting! Oh my. In life's ocean, far out of the will of God, far from the Word of God. Hearing me tonight? Oh my. And so for 14 days and night, they don't see anything. And the Bible said in Luke, that beloved physician writing this book of Acts pinned it down like this. He is there. And he said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Do you know what it's to live like when there's no hope? I'm going to tell you, say this, it's not really living. It's just existing. Amen. And there's folks that come in and out of the sanctuary Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and sit on the pew. I don't have any hope. There's folks tonight that's sitting at the house, but they don't have any hope. And it's because they got in a euroclydon storm. They went against what God said. And tonight they're suffering on account of it. And they have no hope for tomorrow. They can't see their way out or their way through. Anybody hearing me? Hallelujah. Well, I'm sort of preaching both sides, I guess, of this text tonight. Hallelujah. And can I remind you, amen, that though Paul has warned them not to sail, he's had to sail with them. He's had to get in this same storm with the rest of them. He didn't disobey God. They disobeyed God. But he's having to go in this storm. Nobody hearing me tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, we are victims of prophecy tonight. Thank God, as a world, as an America, as a nation, and as a church. Amen. God said it was going to be this way. Thank God, in the last days and in the end time. And we have arrived. Are y'all hearing me? And the church is in the storm. Oh, hear me. After they had thrown everything they could overboard. Cast out the tack of the ship. Everything that looked like it mattered at all. The cargo, anything, the food. And yet it didn't get any lighter. And it looked like certain death. Hallelujah. Oh, can you imagine being tossed to and fro 14 days and nights? Amen. And hardly knowing when it was night or day, day or night, that's where they were at. Not knowing what direction is going in and what was going to happen just any moment unto them. Hallelujah. Amen. Just about that going on, somebody looked around. One of the soldiers, one of the prisoners, one of the companions of Paul, and said, "Have you seen Paul lately?" Yeah. And others said, "No, I hadn't seen him." Somebody said, "You reckon he got washed overboard? You reckon he's gone? You reckon he got swept away with the waves?" Oh, my. Hallelujah. Oh. And then a little bit, somebody else inquired and said, "I still don't see him. I've asked others around, and ain't nobody, hallelujah, seen him. Hallelujah." But after a long abstinence, hallelujah, Paul come out from under his heavy hole, out from under somewhere in the bottom of that ship where he'd been a-praying and a-talking to God, and he stood there, hallelujah, woo, and faced them all. And there was the way of the storm. There was the wind of the storm. But now there's a word in the storm. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how he preached to that crowd. He didn't have a megaphone or a microphone. Amen. Hey, God. And y'all remember Paul. Hey, God was a man that his speech was contemptible. He didn't have a strong voice. He's a weak-voiced man. Hallelujah. Amen. But somehow, of that howling wind and that driving rain and those crashing waves, somehow those men got tuned in out of what that man of God said. And the first thing he said was, "Fear not." Hallelujah. Well, and I tell you, my church is in the storm, but I got good news. I got a word from the Lord. Fear not. Hallelujah. Are you listening tonight? Woo! Fear not, Paul. Hey, God. Oh, you're headed towards Caesar. And to Caesar you must go. I'm going to have you testify before that king. Hallelujah. And let me say something else, Paul. I'm not only going to spare your life, but I'm going to give you the life of all them that sail with him. Hallelujah. Woo! I want to say something to you tonight. It does mean something to have God's man on board with you, on your ship and in your storm. It may be God will spare your life because of him. It's good to have the saint of God in your house and in your community and in your school tonight and on your workplace. Or it may be for their sake, God will spare your life. Anybody hearing me? Amen. Can I say God spared Egypt on account of Joseph and Jacob's family? Amen. And can I tell you the preserving influence of this nation tonight? Hey, God is the church of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about every building that's got four walls and a steeple on it. But those that have been saved by grace, call out. Hey, God, born again, part of the body of Christ and the family of God. They're the preserving influence upon this nation. Hallelujah. There's a word in the storm. Fear not. Be of good cheer. I'm going to spare your life and all them that sail with you. Hallelujah. He said, the only thing is we're going to have to be cast on a certain island for a little bit. We're all going to Rome, but we're going to have to make a detour, a side trip on this little island here. Anybody listening tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God," that's verse 25, "that it shall be even as it was told me." Amen. Hallelujah. So there's the way of the storm, the wind of the storm. Now here's the word in the storm. Thank God for the word to the church in the storm. We are headed to the other side. Hallelujah. Fourthly, may I say tonight, not only was there that word in the storm, but there was the wish in the storm. Notice our text tonight, these chapter 27. Hallelujah. It's verse number 29. Hallelujah. The Bible said they thought they were going to come upon some rocks, and fearing lest they come upon rocks, as they sounded and the ground was, or the water was not as deep as it was, so they knew they were near something. Unless fearing they should have fallen upon rock, they cast out four anchors from the stern and wished for the day. You think the church is wishing for the day? What day? That day. His day. Hallelujah. Well, bless His name tonight. Oh, that day when He said, hallelujah, in Philippians 4 and 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Oh, bless His name. Oh, that day when Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers and said, you have need of patience, that after, thank God, you have, have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What promise? Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, thank God, and will not tarry. Amen. Oh, bless His name. James 5:8, be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I quoted the other night, or read it the other night, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, what do we do in the storm? Take God at His word, cast out your anchors, and wish for the day. Because it's approaching, hallelujah. Amen. God, what will anchor us in the storm? Prayer will anchor you in the storm. Preaching will anchor you in the storm. Praising God will anchor you in the storm in His presence. I'll anchor you in the storm. Paul stood before that crowd and said, the God whose I am and who I serve has sent an angel, and He stood by me this night. He didn't make the storm go away. He didn't calm the raging seas. But just God's presence is enough to anchor you, to get you through your storm. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all wishing for the day? Hallelujah. Old John was when the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. And John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Wishing for the day. Amen. Now, in wishing for the day, amen, as they cast out their anchors, freighting is running upon rocks, amen, hallelujah, they realized, or the Bible tells us, that in verse 27, it was about midnight. Y'all think it's about midnight? Hallelujah. I say this. It's about midnight. I think it's about the end of one day. Yeah. I think one day's fixing to shut out. Amen. I think the day of grace is about to close. The mercy door's fixing to be shut. Amen. Oh my. Somebody said, that's an awful picture. It is on this side. But when you think about midnight, it does mean the end of one day, but it also means the beginning of another. Oh, hallelujah. And when we're through down here as a church, thank God. Revelation 3, thank God. God wrote through John the Revelator, and the last scene of the Laodicean church was she shut the door on Christ and left him on the outside and are carrying on the inside. And if Christ is on the outside, then his believers are on the outside. Oh, are y'all hearing me? Hey, God, whoa. But when Revelation 4 opens, hey, God, John said the door shut down here, but a door opened over yonder. I'm glad when the door shuts on this side, there'll be one open on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you listening? It is about midnight. Not only that, the Bible said, as they kept sounding and found it 20 fathoms and then 15 fathoms, it was midnight, and they deemed, verse 27, that they drew near to some country. Hallelujah. Oh, are y'all getting this tonight? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I deem we're near in some country. Oh, that better country. Hallelujah. That city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Are y'all hearing me? If I could sing right now, I'd sing, we're nearing the shore. Trouble soon will be over. Hey, God, we'll suffer no more. Hey, God, we're near to that country. Woo! Hey, God. Oh, the Hebrew writer said, if Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, hey, God, had the patriarchs had been mindful of the country they come out of, they had had opportunity to return. But now they're looking for a better. Hey, God, a better country. I'm glad there's a better country for the children of God tonight. It's just not all there is. We may be in the storm tonight. We may be wishing for the day. But there is the land of Beulah. There is the land of promise. There is heaven's bright shore within reach of us tonight. That if the trumpet sounds, we'll be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye.
Amen. Bless his name. The way of the storm, the wind of the storm, the word in the storm, the wish in the storm, the way out of the storm. It's all the way in verse 40. And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. Go ahead and put your anchors out tonight. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep preaching, keep hearing, preaching, keep praising. Hallelujah. Keep pursuing. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Quit waiting upon his presence. And one day we'll pull up these anchors. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. We'll preach the last time on this side. We'll shout the last time on this side. We'll pray the last time on this side. Hallelujah. We'll sense and enjoy his presence in these earthen bodies. Have that treasure in earthen vessels. We'll witness the glory of God one more time on this side. And then when we pull up anchors, woo, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll have another building over yonder and a better meeting when we get on that side. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, there's a way out of this storm. We're going to pull up anchor when the trumpet sounds, when the voice of the Lord calls us. We'll leave this low ground of sin and sorrow and awaken his likeness. Be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Gathered together with the saints, that's all God up, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I feel like running back home. I don't know how long the presence of the Lord would be upon me as I ran back home. If it'd be all the way on me, I could run all the way back home and do it quickly. But if it pulls off of me, I've got problems then. But I feel like I could run all the way home tonight. Hallelujah. Can I say something else about this tonight? The way out of the storm. It's when they pulled up anchors, and we're going to pull up anchors and move out. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, we're going to fight so long. Well, the battle's not on forever. Hallelujah. We're only going to labor so long, build so long. Hallelujah. And he's going to say it's over with. Well, bless his name. But verse 44 said, hallelujah, the way out of the storm. The Bible said it came to pass that they escaped all, safe to land. Hallelujah. And that's who all is going to get there. All that are saved by grace. Amen. Bless his name. One last thing and I'm through. I'm going to preach on this storm, the church in the storm. We get to chapter 28. Island of Melita, that island that they had to be cast on before they could get to Rome. And the Bible said in verse number 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, but they kindled a fire and received every one because of the rain and the present cold. There was a welcome on the other side of the storm. Hallelujah. Old time religion is less welcome in America than it's ever been.
That's right.
Old time preaching and godly living is, amen, not well received even in the South and the Bible Belt no more. You don't hear me. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there's a welcome on the other shore. There's a welcome on the other side. Hallelujah. Woo! You think you can't wait to get there. They can't wait till we get there. And the Lord can't wait. Showed them no little kindness. I'm going to tell you what a day that's going to be when Jesus will see. There's going to be a welcome. Are you in the storm tonight? Where are you? Are you still in the fair havens? Have you already hoisted your sails and got caught in a soft south wind? Are you in the Euryclodon storm, just storm tonight? Oh my. Are you there because of the disobedience of others? Amen. Can I tell you, God will see you through the storm. There's a word from the Lord. Fear not. Hallelujah. Wish for the day. Put out your anchors. And when he calls, we'll pull up and go home. And they'll bright, bright, bright welcome for us over there. Let's all stand tonight. Preacher, you do as you feel.
I don't know where you're at tonight, what your storm might be. As Brother Terry was closing with the last point there, I thought about that verse there in Romans. Talks about, for I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through this land. This world's not my home. I've got a better place. I don't know what it's going to be like for sure. I've heard it sing about. I've heard it preached about. I've heard it told about.